found a message on my answering machine today from Jim Fallows, who writes for The Atlantic, and several years ago did a story on the show. He was calling today because out in Washington, D.C., where he lives, public radio was doing something on the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Today, the 30th anniversary of that wreck. And they began to play the well-known Gordon Lightfoot tune, and Fallows said he began to giggle because he can't hear that song, he said, without thinking back to the interview conducted with a shipwreck expert many years ago on the occasion of another anniversary. I think it might have been the 25th anniversary or 20th anniversary of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, probably the 20th. I don't remember. An email today from Canada. Tommy, thought you might like to know that your interview with the Edmund Fitzgerald expert made it on to the mighty CBC this morning. The Canadian Broadcasting Corporation ran the interview. It made my day. Signed, Marty, longtime listener, at least when the weather is right. The CBC got that interview from the BBC. I'm not joking. The BBC, many years ago, got a hold of this somehow. I should know how, but I can't remember. And ran it. Since it is the 30th anniversary, I want to play this. Many of you have heard it already. But before I play it, I want to let you know how it came about and why it worked. It was just going to be another interview. Well, not unlike the interview I did in the first hour. Some fella named Gumbinger had studied the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, was something of an expert. And whatever anniversary this was, I was going to interview him on the show. During the day, I decided that it would be kind of fun to interview him by singing the questions. And then I would sing them to the tune of Gordon Lightfoot's The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. But that isn't what made it a funny bit. Because what should have happened, and what normally would have happened, is I would have sung one question and he would have hung up. And that's not a funny bit. But that's what I anticipated occurring. See, the topic was a little dry, and I didn't really want to have him on for an hour talking about the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. So I didn't care that he was going to hang up after one question. And I was going to move on with the show. The bit was going to be about 30 seconds long. Nobody answers questions that are sung to them when the topic is a serious topic. This is what I didn't realize. This guy had been doing interviews all day long, beginning with the morning drive show at 5:45 a.m. I was the last interview of the day. He was plowing through them. He was given all the same answers, and he was just trying to finish a day's work promoting whatever he was offering. I don't know if it was a video documentary or a book. I can't recall that either. I haven't listened to this in years. What saved the bit, what made the bit, and the only reason the CBC ran it, and the only reason James Fallows called about it, is that the guy didn't hang up. And I'll never really know why. I've never spoken to him again. But here's what I think happened. I think he was tired. It was his last interview, and he simply didn't care any longer. If I wanted to sing the questions, that was just fine. Because of that decision, a golden radio moment was born. I was able to ask question two, question three, question four. He didn't care that I was singing them. They were real questions. In other words, I could have just asked him without singing them, because they were real questions, and they were probably questions that he had taken on earlier in the day. So I suppose there was some reason to continue to answer them. I wasn't being silly in terms of the content of the questions. There was some confusion, as I recall, at the beginning of the interview, because I think he thought I was Joe Souchere. Again, he booked a lot of interviews that day. He didn't really care who was who. I think he thought for a moment I was Joe. I think he says when I start singing, the first question, is this Gordon or Joe? And he's joking and he thinks we're going to drop this silly bit and continue on with a real interview. We don't. I also want to thank Rabbi Moshe Kasowitz, who saved this bit. I don't save a lot of stuff. And every now and then I have to rely on people out there who record things from this show to get them back to me. Moshe is responsible for this particular piece. He kept it. I was over at his house one day and he had it in the back of his office under some books in a corner covered in dust. And it's the only reason I'm able to air it tonight. It's very short. It's about 3 minutes, 3 minutes and a few seconds. But, and in some ways it's troubling in that it may be as good as this show gets, and it's very old. I haven't been able to top it in years, and it's troubling when your best work is that far in the past. But again, it's not because of what I did. As so often happens in radio, it's because of an unpredictable occurrence involving someone who isn't even associated with the show. This is how it went.
The captain wired in, he had water coming in, and the good ship and crew was in peril. Later that night when his lights went out of sight, came the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Gumbinger. He's responsible for a documentary called The Mystery of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is the eve of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Tomorrow, the anniversary, November 10th, when the gales of November came early.
Welcome, Mr. Gumbinger, to our talk show. It's a pleasure to have you on with us.
Is this Gordon or Joe?
This has interested me for many a year. Please, that at last we can discuss this.
How you doing, Joe?
T.D. Mischke, sir. Mr. Gumbinger?
Yes.
T.D. Mischke here.
Oh, okay. Hey, P.D.
T.D.
Okay.
There have been many shipwrecks in history. What makes the Fitzgerald so special? Oh. It's something I've thought about for many a year. It's a question with which you can wrestle.
I'll have what you're having now. Let's see. I think the fact that it happened in our lifetime, there's no doubt that most of your listeners were probably alive when the ship sank.
Could something like this ever happen again? Is there any way we can avoid it? Should they be worried today up there near Whitefish Bay, or am I just getting all paranoid?
There's always the possibility of a maritime disaster, and you hope that it doesn't happen, but it seems to happen every decade or so.
It said in the song, and I don't have this wrong, that the gales of November came early. But if the date of the sinking was November 10th, then it sounds like the gales came right on time.
Yes, more or less they did. Ironically, this was the last journey of the year for the Fitzgerald. And double ironically, it was going to be the captain who was in his early 60s. He sailed Lake Superior for over 40 years. And And this is not only going to be the last journey of the season, but also going to be his career.
It's also mentioned in Lightfoot's tomb that there was some kind of hurricane west wind. But how in the hell could a hurricane gale find itself all the way up by Michigan?
It was literally a freshwater hurricane, and this weather system started out in Oklahoma panhandle and it worked its way up, directly centered itself right over Lake Superior.
How do we know that the cook down below ever said, fellas, it's too rough to feed ya? And since everyone died, I assume Lightfoot lied when he overheard, fellas, it's been good to know ya.
That's a little conjecture on old Gordy's part. I've laughed about that one myself.
So who was this Edmund Fitzgerald anyway, and what in the hell was his story? And how does he differ in way, shape, or form from your average Tom, Dick, or Harry?
Well, he was a very wealthy man. He was the chairman of the board of Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance Company, owned by owner one in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So technically, the Fitzgerald's home port was Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Mr. Gumbanger, it's been good to know ya.
Well, thanks a lot.
That was it. Wonder where Gumbanger is tonight. I wonder if Gumbanger has any idea what I did with that interview. I should have called him later. You'd think he'd have at least wanted a copy of it. Nope. He had other interviews to do. Oh, God. Okay, sure. Hello?
Yeah, you didn't get the funny joke there? My brother was killing that ship. My twin brother.
I actually do think what I did was a funny joke.
So you think when somebody runs over your kid with a frickin' truck, you think somebody's gonna make a joke out of that, make a song out of it?
No.
How about a Mack bumper taking off your kid's frickin' head? Looks pretty good on a bumper.
Mm-hmm. Well,
No, it's a hard goddamn night for me when my goddamn brother's dead.
Well,
buried it.
Yeah, I'm just telling you that the interview itself that I did.
I don't think there's nothing goddamn funny about it.
Mm-hmm. I know you don't. And I'm okay. Okay.